All right, so we're diving into the Archangel's connection. It's given us some fascinating excerpts, and it's clear you're interested in the spiritual side of things, especially the role of archangels.
Yeah, and what's intriguing is that the author, Jairo Ramena, he doesn't stick to just one tradition.
Right.
He's blending Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, even some teachings from the Temple of the Presence. So we're dealing with a unique perspective right from the start.
That's what's really interesting about this. This isn't like, you know, just Angels 101. We're going deep. We've got secret rays, pranic breaths, even the idea that Earth could become a star. I have to admit, I'm hooked.
Me too. It seems like you're not just looking for like a basic rundown, but a much deeper understanding
exactly.
of these concepts. So before we get into the specifics, let's set the stage. When most people think of angels, they probably picture, you know, those cute winged cherubs.
Right. Like something out of a Renaissance painting.
Exactly. But this book paints a different picture. Archangels, according to Mena, are beings of cosmic power and dimension, each embodying a specific quality of God.
Okay, so less Hallmark card, more cosmic force.
Exactly. And here's another twist. Each archangel has a feminine counterpart, an archaea.
Oh, interesting.
Imagine them as partners balancing these powerful energies.
Like a cosmic power couple. I love that.
Now, the book focuses on 12 archangels, but it hints that there may be more out there. It definitely leaves room for some mystery.
Ooh, intriguing. Okay, so let's start with the 7 archangels most people have probably heard of. You know, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and so on.
The familiar 7. The book assigns each one a specific color or ray of light and a key attribute. Michael, for example, is associated with blue and protection.
Hmm.
Gabriel the messenger is linked to white.
So it's like a rainbow of archangels. I like that. Does the book go into detail about any one of these 7 in particular?
It does, actually. It highlights Archangel Gabriel, but not just in his traditional role of delivering messages. The book describes him as holding the immaculate concept of our divine purpose.
Oh, so he's not just delivering messages, but guiding us toward our destiny.
That's the idea. And here's a quote from the book that I found particularly striking. Gabriel says that humans are prisoners of the senses.
Wow, yeah. I can definitely relate to that. It sometimes feels like we're so caught up in this material world.
Yes.
That we forget there's something bigger out there.
Exactly. And the book suggests that connecting with archangels, like Gabriel, can help us break free from this prison and align with higher vibrations.
So it's about tapping into our own divine potential.
Yes.
This is getting really interesting. Okay. Now, I'm curious about that lost equation concept the book mentions.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds pretty mysterious.
It is. The author compares it to Einstein's famous equation, EMCOT. He argues that just like there's a relationship between energy and matter, there's a crucial element missing in most people's lives.
Okay, I'm on the edge of my seat. What's the missing piece?
The connection to our mighty I Am presence. Think of it as the spark of the divine within each of us, the source of our true potential.
So we're all walking around with a piece of God inside of us. That's a pretty mind-blowing concept.
Right. And here's where it gets even more intriguing. This isn't just a Judeo-Christian idea. The book quotes the ancient Greek poet, Hesiod, who said that humans and gods have the same origin.
Whoa. That makes you wonder if those ancient myths were more than just stories. Maybe they were hinting at something deeper.
It definitely makes you reconsider how we view these ancient traditions.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm ready to delve into those secret rays. That's what really caught my eye when I first skimmed the book.
This is where the book takes a turn into uncharted territory.
Okay.
These secret rays are described as pranic breaths, each associated with an archangel, a color, and a Christ virtue.
Christ virtue. You mean like patience or kindness?
Exactly. Think of them as core qualities that help us connect with our divine nature. For example, the book talks about Archangel Ezankiel. He governs the element of water, embodies the color aquamarine, and is associated with the Christ virtue of necessity.
Okay, I'm following so far, but how does that translate to, you know, everyday life?
Well, Ezankiel governs our emotional body, which the book says is where most of our divine energy is stored.
Interesting.
And his advice: when you're feeling overwhelmed, take 20 seconds to connect to your mighty I Am presence before reacting.
So pause and tap into that inner divinity before letting your emotions take over. That's actually really practical advice.
Right. It's about grounding yourself in that higher energy.
I love it. Okay, the last thing I want to touch on before we move on. The book mentions calls and journaling. Can you explain explain those a bit more?
Sure. The book provides sample calls or invocations you can use to connect with specific archangels, but it emphasizes that these are just starting points.
Okay.
You're encouraged to personalize them, make them your own.
So it's not about rigidly following a script.
No.
But finding what resonates with you.
Exactly. This isn't about dogma. It's about finding your own way to connect. And the journaling is key to that process.
How so?
The book says spiritual journaling isn't just about recording your experiences. It's a way to receive messages from the archangels, manifest your desires, even connect to universal consciousness.
Wow. So it's like a direct line to the divine.
That's the idea. It's about opening yourself up to receiving guidance and insights.
And there was something about not sharing everything you journal.
Right.
Right.
Yes. The book suggests that some insights are just for you. Your spiritual journey is personal.
It really is, yeah. Like having a private conversation with the divine. But, let's go back to those secret rays for a moment. I'm curious about how they actually work these, what are those pranic breaths all about?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a term that might need a little more explanation. Absolutely. Think of pranic breath as a kind of life force energy. And each archangel governs a specific type. It's almost like each one has their own color and flavor of this energy.
Yep.
For example, Archangel Michael's blue pranic breath is associated with courage and protection. Imagine it surrounding you like a shield of powerful energy.
Okay, I'm starting to visualize it. So how do we actually tap into these pranic breaths and connect with the archangels? It all sounds a bit complicated.
That's where those calls we talked about earlier come in. Remember those sample invocations in the book?
Mm.
They're designed to help you connect with specific archangels and their energies.
Right, but the book emphasizes that we can personalize them. It's not about sticking to a rigid script.
Exactly. It's about finding what feels right for you. Think of it as a conversation.
Well, you
wouldn't talk to your best friend the same way you'd talk to your boss, right?
Right.
So it's about approaching each archangel with respect and an open heart, but also allowing your own personality and intentions to shine through.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. It's about building a relationship.
Precisely. And remember, journaling can be a powerful tool for deepening that connection. It's like writing letters back and forth with the archangels.
I love that analogy. So by using those calls and journaling, we can start to tap into those pranic breaths and connect with the archangels. But how does that actually help us in our everyday lives? I mean, these archangels are beings of cosmic power. But how does that translate to, you know, dealing with traffic jams and deadlines?
That's a great question. Remember how the book talks about our mighty I Am presence being the source of our true potential?
Mm-hmm.
And remember how it also says that we can get blocked from that potential by negativity, stress, and limiting beliefs?
Right. It's like our connection gets a little fuzzy.
Exactly. Well, the book argues that by connecting with archangels, we can clear out those blockages and strengthen that connection to our mighty I Am presence.
So it's like those archangels are acting as spiritual rewiring experts, helping us get the signal back to full strength.
That's a perfect way to put it. They can help us access that source of peace, wisdom, and power. That's always within us, even when we can't feel it.
Okay, that makes sense. But it also sounds like a pretty big undertaking. I mean, clearing out a lifetime's worth of emotional baggage, that's got to take some serious effort.
It does, and the book acknowledges that. It even talks about reincarnation, karma, the idea that we have multiple lifetimes to work through these things.
Right.
But it also offers tools to help us accelerate the process in this lifetime.
Like those secret rays and pranic breaths we've been talking about.
Exactly. By calling upon the archangels and cultivating those Christ virtues they embody,
right,
we can start to clear out those blockages and raise our vibration.
So it's not just about passive prayer. It's about actively working towards becoming more like our mighty I Am presence.
Precisely. And here's where things get really interesting. The book suggests that as we raise our vibration, we're not just benefiting ourselves.
Okay.
We're actually contributing to the evolution of the entire planet.
Wait, what? How does my personal spiritual growth affect the whole planet? This is where I sometimes get lost at all the spiritual stuff. It feels a bit too, like, cosmic.
I understand. It is a big concept to wrap your head around. But the book presents this idea that Earth is destined to become a star. Not literally, of course, but in a spiritual sense.
Okay, now I'm really intrigued. Tell me more. How do we turn Earth into a star?
Well, think of it this way. Imagine if each person on Earth was radiating their own inner light, their own mighty I Am presence,
okay,
to their fullest potential. What do you think would happen to the planet's overall energy?
I guess it would get a whole lot brighter. like turning up the dimmer switch on all those individual lights.
Exactly. The book argues that as more and more people awaken to their mighty I Am presence and embody those divine qualities, the vibration of the planet rises. And this collective shift in consciousness leads to a kind of golden age.
So it's like we're all pieces of a giant puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And as we individually become more whole and aligned, the whole picture starts to come into focus.
That's a fantastic analogy. And the archangels, with their pure energies and guidance, are there to help us put those pieces together.
Wow. This is definitely making me think differently about the impact of my own spiritual journey. But how do we actually get there? How do we start putting those pieces together?
Well, the book offers some practical steps, like those sample calls for invoking the archangels and the emphasis on spiritual journaling. But I think the most important thing is to approach this with a sense of curiosity and exploration.
So it's not about blindly following the book's instructions, but using them as a starting point for our own unique journey.
Exactly. You can begin by simply incorporating some of the basic practices into your daily life. Maybe set an intention to connect with your mighty I Am presence each morning, or visualize one of the archangels surrounding you with their energy during your commute.
Small steps that can lead to big transformations. I like it.
Exactly. And remember, you can always turn to your spiritual journal to reflect on your experiences and insights. It's a great way to track your progress and see how the archangels are working in your life.
This is so much more than just a deep dive. It's like a whole new perspective on life. I'm already feeling inspired to start incorporating some of these practices. But before we wrap up this part, there's one more thing I'm curious about. The book talks a lot about balancing karma. Can you explain what that means and how it ties into all of this?
That's a great question, and it's a crucial part of the book's message. Karma is often misunderstood. It's not some cosmic scorecard.
Right.
Keeping track of our good deeds and bad deeds, doling out rewards and punishments.
Right. It's not like we're getting points deducted for every bad thought we have.
Exactly. The book describes karma as the energy we send out into the universe.
Okay.
Which inevitably returns to us. It's more about cause and effect.
Okay. So it's less about punishment and reward
and
more about energy and balance.
Precisely. And the key point is this.
Mm.
Karma isn't something we're stuck with.
Oh, okay.
It's something we can actively work to balance and transmute.
Wait, transmute? You mean like turn negative karma into positive karma?
Exactly. And the book suggests one of the most powerful tools for this is the violet flame.
Okay.
It's like a spiritual fire that can burn away negativity and karmic debris.
Okay, this is where it gets a little mystical for me. What exactly is the violet flame and how do we access it?
That's a great question, and one we'll explore in more detail in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll talk about the violet flame, its connection to Archangel Zedkiel, and how we can use this powerful energy for personal and planetary transformation.
Okay, so we're back, and I'm ready to explore this mysterious violet flame. I'm intrigued, but I have to admit, I'm also a little skeptical. It all sounds a little too good to be true. You know,
I understand. It's one of those concepts that can seem pretty out there until you actually experience it for yourself.
Yeah.
So let's break it down. The violet flame is described in the book as a divine energy of transmutation.
Okay.
A spiritual fire that can burn away negativity and karmic debris.
So it's like a cosmic washing machine for our souls.
That's a great way to put it. And Archangel Zedkiel, who embodies the qualities of mercy and forgiveness, is the one who oversees the violet flame.
Okay, so how do we actually work with this violet flame? Do we need special equipment or a secret password?
No, it's much simpler than that. The book suggests using visualization and affirmations to invoke the violet flame.
Okay.
Imagine a vibrant violet fire surrounding you, transmuting any negativity or limiting beliefs into pure light. You can even repeat affirmations like, I am cleansed by the violet flame, or I am free from all karmic burdens.
So it's about actively engaging with this energy through our thoughts and intentions.
Exactly. And the book suggests that by calling upon Archangel Zedkiel and working with the violet flame, we can accelerate our process of karmic purification.
Now, I remember you mentioned in the last part something about the violet flame, not just affecting us individually, but also having an impact on a global scale. Can you elaborate on that?
That's where things get really interesting. The book argues that the violet flame can be used to transmute not only our personal karma, but also collective karma.
Okay.
The negativity that's built up in the world over time.
Wait, so you're saying that my little violet flame meditation can help heal the whole world?
It might sound like a bold claim, but that's the idea. Remember how the book emphasizes the interconnectedness of everything?
Mm-hmm.
As we individually purify our energies and raise our vibrations, that positive energy ripples out. and affects the collective consciousness.
It's like each of us is a drop of water in a vast ocean. If we purify our own drop, it contributes to the overall purity of the ocean.
Exactly. And the Violet Flame is like a powerful purifier, helping to clear out the negativity and create a more harmonious and balanced world.
Okay, I have to say, I'm starting to understand the potential of this Violet Flame. It's not just about personal transformation, but about contributing to a larger shift in consciousness.
Precisely. And remember, the author encourages us to test and prove these truths for ourselves.
Right. He suggests asking our mighty I Am presence or the archangels for confirmation. That's a refreshing approach. It's not about blind faith, but about personal experience.
Exactly. He's inviting you to have your own direct experience of these energies and see how they work in your life.
So it's not about dogma or rigid beliefs, but about exploration and discovery.
Absolutely. And that's what makes this book so fascinating. It presents these complex spiritual concepts in a way that's both intriguing and empowering.
It's definitely given me a lot to think about, and I'm feeling inspired to start incorporating some of these practices, especially the Violet Flame, into my own life. Any advice for someone just starting out?
Start small. Choose a practice that resonates with you and commit to it for a certain period of time. Maybe try visualizing the Violet Flame surrounding you each morning for a week. Or incorporating some Violet Flame affirmations into your daily routine. And don't forget to journal about your experiences.
Right. That journal's like our direct line to the divine.
Exactly. It's a powerful tool for deepening your connection to the archangels and tracking your progress on this journey.
Well, I think we've covered just about everything in this fascinating stack of material. What a journey.
It has been. And remember, this is just the beginning. The more you explore, the more you'll discover the incredible depth and complexity of the archangel connection.
I can't wait to see what unfolds. And who knows, maybe by raising our own vibrations and working with a violet flame will help nudge this whole planet a little closer to that golden age.
What a beautiful thought to end on. Until next time, keep seeking, keep exploring, and keep that violet flame burning bright.